Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
It gives me chills, really, watching Donald Trump and Butler this weekend, along with Elon Musk and J.D. Vance, the three most wanted men, as in most wanted dead, kind of on Earth right now. And if you follow this podcast, you know no less than five assassination teams are currently stalking Donald Trump. If you've watched news of Elon Musk, you know they've tried to kill him twice in the last year. I don't know who they is because he didn't elaborate. He disclosed the information at a shareholders meeting. And right now we know for sure the Biden administration has acknowledged Donald Trump is the subject of at least one Iranian assassination plot. For him to appear in public, he had to be completely surrounded by tall, bulletproof glass. We've never seen anything like this, folks. Surrounded on all sides just to go in public. It wasn't that way until recently, and it is directly because of the failure of Harris Biden. Their open border policies that have allowed our enemies to walk right over the border and go ahead and plan their assassination plots. Just showing up in Butler was incredibly risky for Trump. To have Elon Musk at his side was like ringing the dinner bell. If they could kill him, and you know how many people want to, how many governments want to kill him right now? They can end the First Amendment probably forever, not just in this country, but in the world. And yet all three stood up, risked their lives to speak in public, which is now apparently the norm for Republican candidates. It was worth it. Take a listen to what Elon Musk said.
You know, the true test of someone's character is how they behave under fire. And we had one president who couldn't climb a flight of stairs and another who was fist pumping after getting shot. Fight, fight, fight. Blood coming down the face. Now, America is the home of the brave. And there's no truer test than courage under fire. So that, who do you want representing America? Yeah.
Meanwhile, Her Highness Kamala Harris. You remember about a week ago when she was doing that fake FEMA press conference, which was a weird thing to be doing since she didn't take any questions from the press. When they started shouting questions at her at FEMA headquarters, hey, you know, just asking about the welfare of the people in North Carolina, she had them physically removed from the FEMA headquarters, so they couldn't ask her questions. She still hasn't answered any. But she did find a series of questions she wanted to answer this weekend on a popular sex podcast. And I mean, it is raunchy. It's a women-oriented sex podcast where they interview like sex workers, talk absolute trash. Yeah, she went on there to talk about her stress level. Oh, poor thing. She doesn't have five assassination teams trying to kill her, some who probably came over her open border. No, no. But she was asked about her stress and how she feels.
I'm feeling great. And I'm feeling nervous. You know, there's this old adage, there are only two ways to run, without an opponent or scared. So there you go.
Then they talk tampons and how much they hate men. Because let's face it, folks, the main theme of the podcast is that men suck. And apparently the fans of this podcast, it's called Call Her Daddy. The fans of this podcast will run around on the street asking men if they know where tampons go. And so, you know, Her Highness, I guess, felt comfortable doing this kind of interview. Again, couldn't be bothered to answer even the simplest questions about the welfare from the mainstream media. Questions from the mainstream media about the welfare of folks in Western North Carolina. But tampons, that was on her schedule.
I mean, daddy gang, to put it in our TikTok terms, I have seen girls on the street walk up to men and be like, Do you know where a tampon goes? Do you know how many tampons we use? Do you even know how, like, do you know what a X or Y or Z is of a part of our, and they don't know the answer.
I was the first vice president or president to ever in office go to a reproductive health care clinic, ever.
That is the single stupidest thing I think I've ever heard a presidential candidate say. Of course you're the only one who's been to a reproductive care center. That's a nonprofit gynecologist. What would Mike Pence do there? You're the only one who's been because you're the only woman. What an idiot. This after the people of Western North Carolina pled for help all weekend. Here's just a sample. This is a rescue worker from Spruce Pine. She's standing by the river describing what she sees and smells. It's dead bodies. The numbers here, she said, are infinitely higher than what you're being told. And keep in mind, this is one river in Spruce Pine, a pretty small area, about 10 miles outside of Asheville.
All of these people on this road here, anybody that is alive on this road, which, by the way, I've heard social media saying like there are 8 dead in Spruce Pine. Maybe they have 8 confirmed bodies, but I have to tell you the truth here, folks. You can smell the bodies in certain places along the river. There were vultures out. They have marked, with they being the National Guard, have marked over 100 bodies in a 6-mile stretch of river. Possible bodies, yeah. Just where they think they are. You can't see them, guys. The bodies, the smells, the things are either buried in sand or they're up in the trees and they're crushed in sediment. So
the National Guard, is there a lot of National Guard helping right here?
There weren't at first. The first 4 days, 3 to 4 days, we were down here by ourselves. We were helping each other. This entire thing got cleared to here by locals. By the local farmer and our neighbors. The evacuations that happened on this road were primarily started by myself and my neighbors and the local farmers on this road. And then the National Guard got here the day before yesterday. I'm so confused on my days because I haven't had internet or Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But the National Guard did get here, and the National Guard in collaboration with, you know, people are still missing. They are now bringing in body recovery teams. Their goal is to specifically get and retrieve bodies so that they can get them to the medical examiner and check their teeth records. So that process is really hard. And it's going to be really challenging. Like a gentleman handed me body bags, which I had body bags in my car all day yesterday. And I had to explain to him something that had to be explained to me, even as a rescuer. When I watched the National Guard and they confirmed that the smells I had been smelling were most likely bodies, I was like, well, where are they so I can get to them? You can't get to them. They're crushed in debris. They're up in trees. They're under sediment. They're under sand. Unfortunately, it will be a very long time before you find all these people that are missing. And I haven't even had internet, so I don't even know what the number is. They don't have a number here yet because we're still getting communication.
Even crazier, mushy moderate, supposedly Republican Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina went on Face the Nation and said something shocking. This is the disaster zone is an area the size roughly of Massachusetts. And he said there are large swaths that rescue teams have not even entered. Can you imagine? I can't wrap my brain around it. And here's the shocking part. And he referenced this in the interview. Once you understand this, you understand the horror of this, okay? Joe Biden was asked formally by the Democrat governor of North Carolina on the 27th of September to trigger the Stafford Act, which deploys the military, right, to help. Asked, formally requested on the 27th. Do you know when he did it? 5 days later. 5 days later. Are they trying to lose? Is the Democrat Party deliberately trying to mock the people of Western North Carolina? I mean, you have to wonder after this weekend. I'll lay out why. We'll start with this. After Joe Biden flew over the disaster area, he forgot that he flew over the disaster area and became confused about what disaster area related to some storm anyone was talking about before assuring us that everybody in North Carolina was perfectly happy. Can you imagine if George W. Bush had done what I'm about to play for you after Katrina?
What are the states in the storm zone need, Mr. President?
Okay.
What are the states in the storm zone? What do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need. They're very happy across the board.
What storm zone? The one you just flew over, sir? Oh, yeah, they're really happy, those idiots. Look, Joe Biden's not a real president. He's just an avatar for whoever's running the country. But they clearly have total disdain. Why would you wait 5 days in order before you give the order to dispatch the military? We got an idea from David Axelrod, probably the Democrat Party's chief strategist. He guided Barack Obama from the state legislature to the Senate and then to the presidency. He's kind of the kingmaker of the Democrat Party at this point. And he let the cat out of the bag over the weekend about the thinking of the Democrat Party about who will and will not be able to vote in the Western North Carolina area. Because, folks, North Carolina, Trump won it by just 1 point. It's going to be razor tight. Axelrod, on a podcast over the weekend, described Asheville as a blue dot in the state, saying those voters in Asheville are, they're, you know, the kind of voters that will figure out a way to vote. You know, they're upscale, kind of liberal voters, and they're probably going to figure out a way to vote, Axelrod said. He continued, stating that rural conservatives may not be as resourceful in finding ways to vote following the destruction of their homes and communities. They're in further flung areas, you understand, haunts and haulers and country roads that have been washed out. This is the thinking of the Democrat Party, okay? And I'm telling you, this is why they waited 5 days to send in the military. I guarantee it. He said, I'm not sure a bunch of these folks who've had their homes and lives destroyed elsewhere in Western North Carolina in the mountains there are going to be as easy to wrangle for the Trump campaign. He said, I don't know how all that's going to play out, but it's an unprecedented element in North Carolina that has made it, maybe a little more interesting. How freaking evil. You know what he's saying? And I understand the topography of that area really well because I hike up there a lot, but also because I'm from North Carolina. The surrounding counties, the ones around Buncombe, where there's 100,000 Democrat voters in Buncombe, okay? That's Asheville. It's very blue. But the four surrounding counties where the boards of election are currently shut down right now, that's how devastated they are, those contain 90,000 Republicans. They're heavily Republican areas. They are much, much more rural. What is he telling you? This is the gamble they're making. Hold off the military response, the FEMA response, for as long as possible. Create despair and devastation because we're inside the 30-day vote window here. And early voting begins in 10 days. Until then, it's clear what Joe and Kamala, or at least the people who run them, are trying to do. Tamp this down, make it seem like not that big of a deal, turn the media's attention elsewhere so that nobody will notice how little help these people are actually getting from the federal government.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, even the host of Call Her Daddy, you know, the sex podcast, seemed confused by what Kamala Harris was doing talking to her this weekend while there was so much death and suffering in Asheville.
I'm curious, like, you don't do too many long form interviews. What made you want to do Call Her Daddy today?
Well, I think you and your listeners have really got this thing right, which is one of the best ways to communicate with people is to be real.
Okay, this is a graphic sex podcast for women. Again, where they interview sex workers for tips. Inside the Kremlin, their mouths are hanging open. And in China, Chairman Xi's like, damn, we should just go ahead and take Taiwan. At times over the weekend, as it seemed that the Democrats, that this administration was almost openly mocking the people of Western North Carolina. Either that or they were deliberately trying to lose. It's so bizarre to listen to it. It really is that you had to wonder. Let me give you an example. Probably the most tone-deaf tweet I've ever seen. And that is really saying something. Came from Kamala Harris's account this weekend. And here's what it said. The people of Lebanon are facing an increasingly dire humanitarian situation. By the way, Lebanon is not a small town in North Carolina. We're talking about Lebanon, the country. She actually tweeted this on Friday. I am concerned about the security and well-being of civilians suffering in Lebanon and will continue working to help them meet the needs of civilians there. To that end, the United States will provide nearly $157 million in additional assistance to the people of Lebanon. Well, damn, all North Carolina got was $100 million pledge. They haven't actually seen any of it. She says, to that end, the United States will provide nearly $157 million in additional assistance to the people of Lebanon for essential needs like food, shelter, water, protection, and sanitation. She says, this additional support brings total U.S. assistance to Lebanon over the last year to over $385 million. In other words, almost four times what those poor people in North Carolina are getting. It's shocking. But then you think, how did that go through what? Four or five senior aides who probably looked at it? Nobody saw the problem with it, and they published it. Talk about tone deaf. Or again, are they actively mocking Americans who are in pain right now from Florida all the way up to the Virginia line, lower Virginia? They released this too. Folks, they sent Samantha Power all the way to Ukraine to brag while standing in front of a power station. They had just gotten turned back on to brag that your tax money, U.S. tax money, had just been used to turn the lights back on for 500,000 Ukrainians, while 700,000 North Carolinians are without power, many of them without sewage. Do you know what happens when you can't go to the bathroom? When you have a sewage breakdown, yeah, you have a mass disease outbreak quickly on its heels. Here's Samantha Power. Again, folks, they released this Friday like it's going to help them get votes. I swear they're mocking us. Take a listen.
Thanks to the support of the American people, USAID is working with Ukrainians to keep the lights on and the heat going this winter. I'm here in an energy substation in the western region of Ukraine. This substation provides enough power for around 500,000 residents of this area. I'm standing in front of an auto transformer that used to provide power, but that Putin's forces destroyed back in 2022. As we head into winter, knowing that Putin is intent on attacking critical infrastructure, USAID is doubling our investments in replacing auto transformers that have been damaged or destroyed, and in providing protection to the energy infrastructure that remains. Thanks to the support of the American people, USAID is working with Ukrainians to keep the lights on and the heat going this winter.
Again, while USAID is ostensibly an independent agency, it's almost 100% taxpayer funded. And that's why the Biden administration touted this over the weekend. Again, they're either mocking us or they know they'll win no matter what actually happens on the ground. And yet another example, a shocking example from over the weekend, that the Democrats just don't seem to give a damn how they're perceived right now by voters. Hillary went on CNN and again repeated that they intend to end free speech and the First Amendment if they get elected. Because if they don't, she says, we'll lose total control. For a race that's supposedly close, that's a kind of shocking thing to say less than 30 days out from an election, to brag that you're going to take away people's free speech rights.
If the platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter X or Instagram or TikTok, whatever they are, if they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose total control.
Again, this is the second time in 2 weeks that she's bragged that they're going to take our free speech rights. And she's not the only Democrat Secretary of State to do it. John Kerry said the same thing last week, that they were going to have to end the First Amendment because democracy, as they call it, wouldn't survive it, he says. In other words, they're bragging that they have an authoritarian regime waiting for us on the other side of this election, and they don't seem to give a damn if We know it. And that's weird, given how supposedly tight this election is. At the Butler rally, Elon Musk nailed what's at stake in this election, especially given what Hillary and Kerry and all these Democrats have been saying.
And I think this election, I think it's the most important election of our lifetime. This is no ordinary election. The other side wants to take away your freedom of speech. They want to take away your right to bear arms. They want to take away your right to vote effectively. You've got 14 states now that don't require voter ID. California, where I used to live, is just passed a law banning voter ID for voting. I still can't believe that's real. So how are you supposed to have a proper election if there's no ID? It's just meaningless. And free speech is the bedrock of democracy. And if people don't know what's going on, if they don't know the truth, how can you make an informed vote? You must have free speech in order to have democracy. That's why it's the First Amendment. And the Second Amendment is there to ensure that we have the First Amendment. President Trump must win to preserve the Constitution. He must win to preserve democracy in America. This is a must-win situation. Must win. So I have one ask for everyone in the audience, everyone who watches this video, everyone on the live stream. This one request, it's very important. Register to vote. Okay? And get everyone you know and everyone you don't know, drag them to register to vote. There's only 2 days left to register to vote in Georgia and Arizona, 48 hours. Like, text people now. Now.
Elon Musk feels this urgency more acutely than just about anyone else besides Donald Trump. Why? Because the two of them will end up in prison very quickly if the Democrats win. The SEC and the Department of Justice are already pursuing their second criminal case against Musk in 2 years. The first one foundered because his lawyers were so good. But they'll come up with something to put him away. Anything to get X out of his hands. Meanwhile, this went viral over the weekend. It's a woman who works for the hospital in Asheville. She'd gone to the Asheville airport to pick up pediatric medical supplies. She was admitted to the private part of the airport to do this. Here's what she says she heard.
We were sitting in the private portion of the airport, and we got to overhear an awful lot. While we were there, a private jet landed, and four FEMA representatives got off. Four people off of a private jet. Come to find out, and you're not going to hear this, so let me tell you. FEMA said, and you can take this as a direct quote, said that they are too tied up at the border to send any more representatives. Yeah, at the border. So anyhow, I guess.
She, too, hinted at what so many are saying in Western North Carolina. The 227 supposed death toll, way too low. There are hundreds more out there.
So, they told Mission Hospital they are not sending refrigerated trucks so that they can stack the bodies up. And we also overheard that whatever fatality numbers you are hearing, and this is a quote, go ahead and add a couple of zeros. So FEMA's too busy with the border. A private hospital and the Army are going to take over body recovery. And private individuals with their private helicopters and their private planes are the ones who are flying in supplies. I was at Hangar 10. I was picking up supplies. There was a stack for the Cajun Navy. There was a stack that looked like it was ASPCA. These are all being sent by private individuals. FEMA is doing nothing. Go ahead and share that.
After I heard that about FEMA, I spent a lot of the weekend trying to figure out if that was true. Is the fact that FEMA didn't show up, there was a press conference actually out of Asheville where the director of FEMA for that particular rescue operation said they had just 40 people on the ground. And that was on Wednesday of last week. That's a shockingly low number for a disaster area the size of Massachusetts. Why wasn't FEMA there? Was it merely because they wanted to press the vote in the rural areas, as Axelrod described? Not my idea. Axelrod said it. There was something else going on there. So I spent the weekend digging into where FEMA agents are. Are they actually on the border like this woman's talking about, or is this just misinformation? Well, archives of NPR, archives of the New York Times should have been cleaned up before they started calling this misinformation. Because starting in 2021, FEMA has been deployed to the border. In other words, they're not just distributing the $800 million in migrant assistance grants that they were given in 2022. No, no, no. They're actually working on the border at the expense of people suffering in these disaster zones. And I can prove it using only mainstream media sources. That'll be in tomorrow's Battleground America podcast. Till then, have a great rest of the day.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.